In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Here are some questions for you. How do you look at your neighbor and think about him and his need? Is he a distraction, a nuisance, a burden, perhaps a means to an end? Is that what he is? Is he a rung on the ladder, a stepping stone by which you'll earn brownie points and justify yourself? Or is he an object of mercy and compassion? Do you perceive your neighbor's pain, his hurt, his poverty, his hunger? They're all a blessed cross for you to bear, which belongs to your living the divine and eternal life along the way that God has called you to, even as you are baptized into him. But you've already set your goals and made your plans, haven't you? You've plotted out your day, you've scheduled your week, figured out the month with its bills and its appointments, its obligations, and its fun times. You've set your sight on some destination. And so you get up every morning and you set off down the road to make your way. Except that not even your own life is in your own hands, much less the whole wide world and your neighbors in it. As God so wills, you will do this or that, just as St. James teaches you to think and to say, and as Jesus teaches you to pray, "Thy will be done." As for the bandits and the robbers who beset you, they are numerous, they are various, they are, you might say, legion. They're not only coming at you from all around, but also from within, as your own addictions, bad habits, and frailties, and fears, and weaknesses trip you up and bring you down and show very well that you have not in you the true fear, love, and trust in God that he demands. Or else maybe you're not attacked or hindered like that, but you come across someone who has been. Then what? What do you do? Or what do you not do? And what are the consequences either way? What will it mean for you, for your plans and for your life and for your destination if you stop and stay and stick around to help someone who is hurting? Or what will happen if you just keep on moving on as if nothing had happened? Over the centuries, all kinds of explanations and excuses have been offered as to why the priest and the Levite chose not to help the man who fell into the robber's hands. But make no mistake, they should have helped him. And what the Samaritan then did with compassion for the man was the good and right thing to do, was the godly thing to do. It was not at all easy to take care of the wounds of someone else, but it wasn't too much either. It was what love and mercy and tender compassion call for. It was to live the divine eternal life as it was laid out before him. And so you should go and do the same, just as Jesus says in his gospel. But as you're met with the needs of others, even as the Lord your God, into whom you have been baptized, is attached, by his name and by his very being, into everlasting and ever-flowing mercy and compassion. But in this way, you are set upon as much by the burden and the cross of your neighbor and his needs as you are by the burden and the cross of your own sin and death. In helping your neighbor, your time, your energy, and resources are spent and used up as surely as the robbers would have taken them from you. Or if you decide not to help, your conscience besets you with guilt and shame for having turned away from your neighbor. And then you are attacked, accused, and beset not only by the devil and the world, by the law of God. For you are to love and to serve him who is your Lord with all that you are and have, and because of who he is, because he is the Lord, you are to love and serve your neighbor in the same way that you cherish and care for yourself. Think of what that means. when you are the man who has fallen among robbers, and you have been stripped and beaten, and you're left behind dying in the ditch by the side of the road, well, I suppose you do whatever you can, whatever is in your power, to save yourself. Well, so too for your neighbor, whether he be friend or foe, or a total stranger, you are to do whatever you can to save him. And when you are finally forced to realize that you can't save your neighbor, and you can't save yourself, that the need is too great, that the hurt is too big, that the situation is too desperate and beyond your ability to take care of or to rectify, then you must die. Altogether, you must die. Die to yourself. Die to your sin. Die to your strength. Die to everything. You see, you cannot justify yourself. Your inability is no excuse. It's only a confirmation of the very fact. You cannot do anything to capture life or keep it for yourself. You are half dead already. The only reason that you are not all the way dead is that God has given and preserved your life thus far. There is no destination of your own devising. There is this path on which the Lord has set you and the point to which he has brought you this day. Each moment is one in which you are given to live or to die, not by your own reason or strength, but by the grace of God. By the same grace of God whereby he became your neighbor through his flesh and blood and his innocent sufferings and death upon the cross. He was stripped and beaten for you. He was left not half dead, but all the way dead. And this on account of your sins, from which you could in no way free yourself or justify yourself. He is the seed promised to Abraham and all who believe as he did, who justifies you before the Father, so that what you fail to do for your neighbor is instead done to you in and through Christ Jesus. From the beginning, Christians have recognized Christ Jesus in the Good Samaritan, and this is most certainly true. For here is the new man who has come down from heaven from God, the Almighty and Eternal Son of the Father, conceived and born of his Virgin Mother. Here is the love of God, who is the life and the light of all men. He has seen you in love from before the foundation of the world, and has been moved from the depths of his very being with compassion for you, to come and to help you, to act heroically on your behalf, and to save you from sin, your sin, my sin, from death, and from hell. He is the man who has lived the divine eternal life in the flesh for you and for all people, while one and all of us were still at enmity with him. He has given himself for you and poured himself out in order to fill you up with his own life and health and strength and every good thing. And in order to do so, he has taken your place under the cross. Under your burden of sin and of death, he has borne your grief and carried your sorrows. He has been wounded by and with and for your transgressions, so that by his stripes and scars you are healed and made whole. You know, he comes to you not only as the Good Samaritan, but to become the beaten, bruised, and bloodied man who has suffered the fullness of death at the hands of sinners. For he has thus borne your sins in his own body, even as he now bears you up in his arms, upon his back, and across his shoulders, in order to bring you home rejoicing to his God and Father in heaven. So, the Lord Jesus Christ is your divine and eternal destination, who has come to be with you, to abide with you in your misery and hurt, and so also to journey with you on this path of life that he has laid out before you. He has brought you here to this inn where he cares for you and provides for all your needs. where he raises you from the dead and strengthens you in body and soul unto the life everlasting. He spares no expense in serving you, not with silver, not with gold, not with the things that robbers will take away from you, but with his holy and precious blood, with which he has redeemed you, ransomed you, and won you for himself in his kingdom, and even now to minister to you in the balm of his gospel in order to cleanse you and heal you. In all these ways, the Lord your God, your Savior Jesus Christ, has befriended you and become your neighbor. That is the answer to the lawyer's question, although he didn't know what he was asking. Who then is your neighbor? Jesus is the one who has shown mercy to you. And as God has thus become your neighbor in Christ Jesus, so you are now able to love God by loving your neighbor, because God loves you with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. The Lord your God loves you. He has rescued you and set you free. He has become true man and has bound himself to your neighbor in his need and also to you and yours. It is one Lord Jesus Christ who has become all in all, who is at hand in your neighbor to help you in your hurt, and so also in your neighbor who needs help, so that you now love and serve him, even as you serve the Lord in him. Everything is provided for you. The Lord Jesus has it covered. Nothing is lacking for the journey. Nothing can hurt you anymore forever. No one can rob you of the life that has been given you freely by the grace of God in Christ Jesus. You see, here are the two denarii that he has placed into your pastor's hands to take care of you as your pastors. His body given, his blood poured out for you, for the forgiveness of all your sins. And you know, where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also eternal life for you. Whatever may yet seem to be lacking, he will fully restore and openly reveal when he returns in glory at the last. He is the Lord, and he is faithful. He will do it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.